Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
This show generally likes to start with hate when we speak ourselves or there's a clip to play, but we'll start with some love. Some love for Roy Oswalt. From Roy Oswalt, directed at Alex Bregman, and really a call to action for the organization. That organization being the Houston Astros. Roy Oswalt took to Twitter, and this popped up on the timeline. I didn't even know Roy Oswalt had a Twitter. Well, I'm not following Roy Oswalt. There's not a real reason for me to follow. I'm not taking shots. There's just no real reason for me to follow a former Astro.
For his thoughts on the current team, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
And whenever he has signings or something in the area.
I seem like that type. To show up at a player signing.
I mean, maybe, you know.
Who do you think?
If he's in League City.
What player do you think could get me out to a signing?
That's such a great question.
Like, convenience-wise, yes, let's use League City Town Hall.
Okay.
A player signing at League City Town Hall. What player could get me there?
Santana Moss.
Not a chance.
I'm trying to think of you guys, because I think that's your best shot. I don't know if. Like Dwayne Wade?
Maybe. He's the one. I think Dwayne Wade's the one guy that could get me out. And I wouldn't even want to sign anything. I wouldn't even want a picture. I'd just like, hey, man, appreciate you. And that'd be about it. That's all.
Dap?
If he would make me so happy, yes.
Okay.
I give him
picture?
A dap. Nah, I don't care about pictures.
Okay.
I wouldn't go there for the gram. I don't care about that.
Oh, I forgot how real you keep it.
it's not about that. It's just a lack of care. It's not about being real.
Chad Pennington?
No.
Chan Gailey?
No.
Cam Cameron. I'm sorry. Cam Cameron.
Yeah, well, not wrong. Chan Gailey was the OC for that Ryan Fitzpatrick year. He was there.
Okay. I was trying to think of the guy who was the 1 in 15.
Yeah, that was Cam Cameron.
Cleo Lemon?
Who drafted Ted Ginn and said, we're not just drafting Ted. We're drafting his family, too.
Ted Ginn's family.
Not a chance. Ohio State Buckeye. Ohio State Buckeye Ted Ginn? Not a chance.
Ted Ginn the third.
No, not a chance. None of it.
Ted Ginn's mom?
I gave you the one. I don't think you can get past.
Yeah, Ray Lewis?
Nah.
Willis McGahee?
No.
Okay.
It's probably Wade, and that's what he's doing in League City. I don't know, but if he's there,
that's the funniest part to me is Dwayne Wade at League City Town Hall.
I don't know,
or Town Center.
Maybe he's building. Maybe he decided League City was a place for him to build something, and he decided I'm going to make an appearance. I don't know, but yeah, that
he's
be
investing
the one.
In Kima Boardwalk, and so he's like,
possibly. Who knows? Kima's actually closer to my house. I live more near Clear Lake Shores than I do League City proper, but. What about you? Do you have someone who would get you out? You don't seem like the type either.
I don't know.
It's tough. We're not those types. There are people who will go. Like I was at the Jeremy Pena thing with Taquerias around us, and a lot of people showed up. A lot of people wanted to go. So there are certain people who will do that. Yeah. I'm just not one of those people.
Maybe Altuve.
If he was at your apartment complex, you go downstairs. for signing.
if he was at the Memorial City Mall signing things, I'd go.
I'd show up.
Vince Young, Colt McCoy. Those
Texas legends. Yeah. Okay.
If you played at Texas from like 04 to 09.
The good old days, yes.
Man, those were
the great days.
Yeah. My first years watching. I was like, this is awesome. This is what every year's like, right?
Hey, I know the feeling. As a kid.
Oh, maybe Gerard Hurd.
Gerard Hurd. I'm just,
I just want to mention someone from the Charlie Strong. Chris Boyd, he's in town.
Yeah. No. I would mention one from Miami, but it'd be too much of a deep cut. At least people here would know the guys you're talking about.
Greg Olson? Third leg Greg?
G-Reg, I think is his name. Part of the 7th floor crew.
Yeah, if he was on the 7th floor of an apartment complex, would you go up?
Only if he...
I don't think they would want me up there.
No, only if there was a live performance of the song.
I find that... I believe he tries to distance himself.
I would imagine he would. He's got a whole career going that
family
that wouldn't want to be associated with that particular time in his life. And why would he? He was a college kid. And now he's got to...
He's like 40 now.
He's got to deal with that. Oh, Greg Olson, the author of Third Leg Greg, is now the lead guy for Fox. He's going to do a Super Bowl. Look at that.
He's signing things.
Yeah.
You walk up.
I'm going to need that. Greg, I appreciate it, but sign that as Third Leg.
What's your name? G-Reg. What'd you do?
Nope.
Oh, you can't say it.
I'm not going to do it.
You know what? I think what's your name, G-Reg, is probably the only lyrics we can say on the air.
Hey, Mr. Olson, if I was a young kid. Hey, Mr. Olson, can you sign that as G-Reg?
It's just the printed out lyrics to
it's just
7th Floor Crew?
Yeah, it's just the song lyrics.
It's printed out.
And I need you to sign it.
His verse. His verse only.
I'm going to get Beeson to sign it, too. Merriweather. I'm getting him, too.
If Merriweather probably still stands by it.
I think the only one who's disassociating themselves from it is Greg Olson, because he's got a career that that isn't something that's going to go great for him if people are like, hey, G-Reg. I don't think that's great for his broadcasting career.
But he works for Fox, so it's a tough one.
Yeah, I just think it's something where he's going to go. I was a college kid, man. It was fun, but that's not who I am anymore.
I wonder if off the record he's like, man, the 7th Floor was crazy.
When those guys get together, it wouldn't be for any really team reunion because they didn't win anything in his time there of any real consequence. Do they perform the song when they get together, when they relive the glory days?
I think they have a band that plays like the acoustic cover of it.
Some singer-songwriter type.
Yeah.
Makes it all romantic. The good old days of when Miami was great and they can get away with rap songs. Now, just shut up and beat it. 1-6 Florida State team. Yeah, the Zombie Land celebration that Western Kentucky was like, hey, we did that. Everyone's like, yeah, we get it, but shut up. We don't care.
That's like Incarnate Word taking credit for Cam Ward. It's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, when he's drafted... Hopefully for him in the top 10 or at least in the first round. It's not going to go former
quarterback one.
Possibly. It won't say from Incarnate Word, Cam Ward. It'll say Miami. Washington State's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, come on.
I mean, he was pretty good there. Not as good as he is now, though.
Like, Incarnate Word can get credit for discovering him.
For finding him. Being a zero-star recruit and noticing him.
Miami can take credit for making him
a Heisman
candidate. Heisman candidate, top half of the draft, kind of draft, like one of the first quarterbacks taken.
Yeah, that's true.
Wazoo?
I don't know where they stand.
I don't know. Did they?
Well, his
almost beat him in the Apple Cup, almost beat Washington in the Apple Cup.
His highlights at Wazoo will come up when he gets drafted. But it might be one of those things where this is where he's improved from.
Yeah.
But his highlights, like Lance, who will break him down, will have to go back to his Wazoo highlights and find some positives and a negative to see how he's developed at Miami.
Does he? Because I remember with Bo Nix, he was like, I will not.
He had
not
to wipe away everything.
Yeah, he's like, I will not watch Auburn Bo Nix.
Well,
that was a different guy.
Well, yeah, Bo Nix spent, was it 1 or 2 years at Oregon?
2 years.
Okay,
Oregon,
so
at least.
So I think he would have to go back to Wazoo because.
Just for 2 years.
He's only been Miami for one. He's only going to spend 1 year there.
That makes sense.
We were going to bring this up until we diverted to whatever nonsense we just got into. What what Royal Oswald tweeted was this. Remember? That's how this started?
Yeah, yeah.
He tweeted, bring Bregman back in all caps.
Done.
He was talking directly to his former teammate, Jeff Bagwell. Bring Bregman back.
Through Twitter.
Yes, through Twitter, because that's always the way things work. And, of course, everyone's like, right on. You damn right, Roy. Bring him back. Unfortunately for you Bregman and you Bregman fans who want him to come back and still be an Astro, Roy is the wrong one to be pushing for him. You need Bagwell to feel that way. And then you need him to convince his boss, Jim Crane, that whatever Bregman's asking for is reasonable so he can come back. Look, we've had Roy Oswalt speak out. Jose Altuve has spoken out. It's all going to come down to how much Bregman's going to want in the years and whether Jim Crane's willing to do something he has not done before for a positional player on the verge of leaving. Pony up. Is this the guy he decides to pony up for in real free agency? I have my doubts. Now the question is, which team could Alex Bregman join where you wouldn't be bothered by it? Like, some people expect him to join a contender. I saw someone have the disaster scenario of he will join the team that doesn't win this World Series. I was like, why is that your thought?
Kevin Durant of the MLB?
I don't know if that's a definite. I'm trying to think which team I'd be like, okay, look, Bregman got his bag. Does Toronto need a third baseman? Just send him up there. Send him up there with George. I wouldn't be bothered by that at all.
Should be a team that's like, we just signed 2017 Astros.
Yeah, do it.
That's what we do.
And if the Blue Jays want to be that, go up there, Toronto. What if you sign with the Tigers? I wouldn't be bothered by it so much. I don't even know if they need a third base. I'm just chucking out teams. Something you should be bothered by, or maybe you're over it, but one man who isn't over it is Brian Cashman. Before we go, let's get to this. Brian Cashman, you know, the GM of the Yankees. He was on with Mad Dog, and Mad Dog brought up the drought for the Yankees, 15 years of not making a World Series. Well, Cashman wanted to add some asterisks and some caveats, but, you know, add some context to why they haven't been. Here's Brian Cashman on with Mad Dog about that Yankees drought.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year. I don't want to say drought. That's not fair. But you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning a pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot. And I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't. It completely forgets and discounts that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So. I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
So they're still bothered by it. Obviously, he's bothered by it. But it was pointed out this morning that you guys scored no runs in Minute Maid. And I think he's not just talking about 2017. I think he's extending it to all the times the Astros beat him, which has no factual basis behind it. But I don't think he's just using 17 as the prime example where you could say, okay, there was evidence the Astros were cheating that year. I think he's talking about all the times they faced them.
It'd be very funny. It feels like the 2015 wild card game. They knew what Tanaka was throwing.
I wouldn't put it past them to suggest, at least in 19, that it was still going on.
19's that serious or more serious one. I mean, 22, they got swept. Like, what are we talking about? I get that
a cheater, probably in his mind, always a cheater.
And also, I imagine every time Brian Cashman has to either speak publicly, probably not speak publicly, but every time he's on with non-friendly media in New York especially, they probably have asked him about why haven't we made the World Series in X amount of years.
Sure.
Like, he probably heard that when it was 10 years. He probably heard that when it was 7 years. I think a little bit of it's like his ego of, hey, everyone keeps saying how I inherited the World Series winning team. Like, he didn't make any moves to actually get any of the core four from the, like, late 90s, early 2000s, or I guess 2000, winning teams. And then when he actually had to do it on his own, he won one in 09, and that's it. And I'm sure there's some point of, like, Like, it's covering his ass. He's just trying to cover his ass for, wait, I if you're not going to give me credit for the first four World Series that we won because I maybe didn't have a huge part in it, now you only give me credit for one and then a 15-year gap, and I have to hear that every day of my life? I think that's probably where a lot of this comes from. It's just, like, insecurity in that.
He's being berated or barraged with lack of accomplishments,
yeah,
for a decade plus.
Which is crazy because, like, he's in the World Series this year.
Well, finally. Thanks for getting it together, Cashman.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is. So bring Bregman back, according to Roy Oswalt, and the Astros cheated us out of multiple World Series appearances, according to Brian Cashman.
I don't know. I don't know what your allegiance is, or if you had any rooting interest in this World Series.
Oh, I was not rooting for the. We talked about it. I'm rooting against the Yankees.
Okay.
That is my stance.
And so I would submit this as for people who are like, no, we're rooting against the Dodgers. I'd submit this as evidence.
Yeah.
As why
is recency bias because the Dodgers? I don't know how many of them are still left, but plenty of Dodgers.
Yeah, like Kershaw had comments.
Yeah, Joe Kelly.
The Astros are basically still in the playoffs.
Yeah,
how much they talk about them?
Can't stop talking about them.
It's the only time baseball is nationally relevant is when the Astros cheating scandal.
When the Astros are about on job and about their business, but recency bias has the Cashman thing at the forefront for me. And also, I was never going to root for the Yankees. Never. There's no chance. The only reason I would ever root for them is to make Boston people sad. But even then, I would be rooting against both teams.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Like, and a Red Sox-Yankees ALCS, I don't have any love for the Yankees, but the thought of Boston people being sad comforts me.
Yeah.
So I may root for the Yankees. Only for that reason, because it would be the worst for them to lose a series to the Yankees.
When it's Red Sox-Yankees, I generally root for the Red Sox.
I did until I got more of a taste of Boston people.
Yeah, yeah. And that's some Heat Celtic stuff.
It's Patriots stuff, too. It's all of it.
Oh,
all
okay. of it. Bruins, Panthers from a couple years ago.
I mean, I'm not a giant Panthers fan, but yes. you can throw that in there.
I just know that they play.
Yeah, I'm not looking for any Boston happiness when it comes to sports. It's just how I'm built, I guess you'd say that. When we come back, we'll hear more from Tilman Fertitta. He joined the station at 9:45. People are positioning the contracts he's given to Shingun and Jalen Green as team friendly. He says, maybe not. So we'll hear from him. We also have that giveaway with the Aggies in town to face the Cougs in that charity game on Sunday at Fertitta Center. So we'll place. We'll play that sound. We'll give away those tickets when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to Tillman's comments here. Didn't mention this. I alluded to it, but didn't actually say what happened. The Chiefs trade for DeAndre Hopkins. That broke this morning, early this morning. So the Chiefs need a wide receiver help. Xavier Worthy has not, I wouldn't even say lived up to the potential. He's just like a lot of Chiefs wide receivers who aren't Rashee Rice, who is hurt right now. They haven't had great success implementing young receivers into their offense and having those guys take off. Xavier Worthy is only a rookie. I'm not making any real determinations on what he will be, but they felt like they needed a guy, and that guy is DeAndre Hopkins. So DeAndre Hopkins got to be happy to get away from the likes of Mason Rudolph and Will Levis. We will see how big, or if he is a big part of the Chiefs going forward. But it's another name, and the Chiefs don't mind going for wide receiver help, in the middle of the season.
This is, like, really going to be his, and it's only going to be half a season, more or less. But this is only, what, his third season with a good quarterback in his career?
Deshaun got there in 17.
But played six games.
And then 18, 19.
18, 19.
Then they traded D-Hop. He was in Arizona, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He played with Kyler for a couple years.
So he had a couple years. But we're going into you would probably say this is year six of. And it's half a year Deshaun, half a year of
Mahomes.
So let's say five years
okay.
of playing with competent quarterbacks.
So he's almost over 50% competent quarterbacks for his career.
So, yes.
Okay.
And he's been able to rack up nearly 13,000 yards and nearly 80 touchdowns in his career. So we'll see what Patrick Mahomes can do for him as the Chiefs make an acquisition. They're not great offensively. Patrick Mahomes' numbers aren't good with the 8 interceptions this year. I believe only 6 touchdowns. So they go get one of the old veterans to see if, you know, he can help a team who's undefeated. They need help, but they've been able to overcome all their issues to be the number one seed in the AFC. Okay. Tillman Fertitta this morning joined John and Lance. And he got a deal done with his two young stars, Shingun and Green. Two and one for Green, a 4+1 for Shingun. A lot of money, no matter how you want to couch it and what it means for the cap and how it compares to the other guys. A lot of money was given out, but yet it was termed team-friendly. Here is Tillman Fertitta on that term and what those contracts mean for his team and those players.
I wouldn't say that they're team-friendly. They were team-friendly, but they're player-friendly too. When, you know, when you have a guy like Alpi that, you know, making – you know, it's a tremendous amount of money, $5 million, because he wasn't a top 10 pick, and now he's guaranteed $185 million over 5 years. And that's pretty player-friendly, too. I know they're happy. Let me tell you something about these guys, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. They know that we have a bunch of young future stars, and they know the way that the cap is in the NBA now, that you cannot go into the apron of the tax. And that's why Steve Ballmer could not keep Paul George and send him to Philly this year, because you cannot be there. It's so punitive. And we don't want to have to get rid of a star or two future of this young group. And what we're trying to sell these guys on, if everybody keeps progressing the way they're progressing, this team is going to be a championship-caliber team in a few years.
Tillman said, I'm handing out generational wealth, and you think it's team-friendly? What are you talking about?
I handed out damn near $300 million guaranteed.
Alpi made $5 last year. He was like, by the way, tremendous amount of money. And now he's guaranteed. Right. Yeah, obviously. Now he's guaranteed this. What are we talking about? I set that man's family up for the rest of his life. You're talking about team-friendly? Get the F out of here.
You know, I won't go there. But, you know, internationally, too.
The money goes further?
It might.
I don't know the exchange rate in Turkey, but you're probably on to something.
Do you know how many cousins are coming out of the woodwork? How many Alper and Shingun cousins there are back home?
We can throw that at any guy. Jalen Green, Jalen Johnson, all those guys. I'm sure you got relatives you didn't know you had coming out. I do love the owner going, psh, you signing checks for $100 million plus? What are you talking about?
Team friendly.
Get out of my
not Tillman friendly.
Yeah, not bank account. Not bank account friendly. What are you talking about? Team friendly.
I like how it goes from these deals aren't team friendly directly into. And by the way, this tax. Woof.
Ooh, that's a big problem.
Which, by the way, he was like 1/30th of the side that agreed to it.
Yeah, but he ain't gonna pay it.
Like all these owners like agreed to this. Yeah. Like
you agree to implement something.
Because and then they go, ooh.
Because you couldn't trust yourself to limit your spending. So you wanted to implement a tax that would, and also revenue would be given out if you guys hit the tax to the teams who didn't.
Yeah, it's also the teams that blew past it. The Warriors. Okay, good. That's a good, successful.
Sure.
They won one title when they blew past it, but still successful.
Got their title, sure.
The Clippers, completely unsuccessful. The Brooklyn Nets, completely unsuccessful.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns, completely unsuccessful.
So all these fans calling their owners cheap and saying, hey, it's not my money. Spend as much as you can and have a contender. The teams who do, for the most part, aren't building real contenders.
And it's also from the owner's side, like, we have to get this spending in line. We can't have teams out here spending like drunken sailors. Like, actually, kind of can. If the Suns don't win it, like, this year or next, they're kind of just going to be a basement team for a while.
They're spending like drunken sailors and their player personnel decisions are what a drunken sailor would do.
Too.
Yeah, and that's what's going on. That's new owner syndrome in Phoenix. he was like, let's make moves. Give me Kevin Durant.
I've heard of him. Give me Kevin Durant.
Bradley Beal. Get him.
My son loves playing with that guy.
Yeah.
On 2K.
On 2K, yeah. Well, isn't the connection that Bradley Beal's agent, is he in the Suns front office?
That would not be shocking. Because there's a lot of former agents that, I mean, we see it with the Knicks. That's how the Knicks are run.
There's some connection between the two that made that appealing to Bradley Beal beyond living in Phoenix over, I guess, living in D.C. with a bad basketball team. So, we've heard from Tillman, team-friendly his ass, pretty much, is what he says. Now, this is something that is for charity, so Tillman's arena or center will be involved in this. If you want to take part in the game, and by take part, I mean go watch it, the Aggies-Cougars game, charity basketball game on Sunday at the Fertitta Center, be caller 4 right now, 713-780-3776. Buzz Williams and his Aggies are in town to take on Kevin Sumlin's nationally ranked Cougars, top 5 Cougars, to be more specific. And if you like KenPom, he has them as the best team in the country. If you want to watch those two go at it on Sunday, call in right now. And Buzz Williams has told us they're going to treat this like a real game. All the things they do to prep for a game on a normal Saturday during the season or Sunday during the season, they're going to prep for it that way too. So the Aggies are bringing serious intentions, and I imagine the Cougs will too. So it's 4 p.m. at Fertitta Center. Proceeds from the game will benefit the Greater Houston Disaster Alliance Hurricane Barrel Recovery Fund, which assists those who are affected by the storm. Tickets are available at uhcougars.com/tickets. And it's a four-pack. Sorry, I might have said a pair. Four-pack of tickets. So bring two other people. I think we have our winner there. So we're going to be doing that every day this week, as well as Gallant and George and the Killer Bees. Great cause, and you're going to see good action. Cougs, Aggies in town, 4 p.m. after the Texans game. Watch your Texans game. Head over to Fertitta Center to watch the Cougs and the Aggies. Okay, we got a couple more segments to go. We'll hear my submission for Hater of the Week. You guys can be Hater of the Week if you want, if you got something to hate on, or you can bring something to the table. We'll be doing that throughout the week. I put Sean on the spot this morning when I told him about it. He didn't have to have an answer today. He can have one at any point when he thinks of one, but we're doing Hater of the Week here, and mine, mostly because it's very surprising, is coming up when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Okay, so this occurred on the Manning Cast during the Bucks Ravens game. Joe Flacco, former Raven. We all know that. Current Colt, the best quarterback on that roster, but he can't play because the starter is a top 5 pick. I think I'm comfortable in saying that. The Colts would be better off if Joe Flacco was a starting quarterback, at least in the short term. If Joe Flacco would play 5 more years, they'd be better off in the long term too. But you can't guarantee that, so they got to get Richardson his reps, and we'll see if he improves his passing numbers from the game against the Dolphins when he's in town against the Texans. Texans are going to be thin in the secondary, so maybe the deep ball will be an option again for him. But Joe Flacco was on. He joined Manning Cast, and this is my nomination for Hater of the Week.
Joe, you obviously played 11 seasons in Baltimore. You won a Super Bowl there. And you're, you know, obviously still an active player with Peyton's Colts, as he says it. And y'all are fighting for a playoff spot. And we won't tell anyone, but are you maybe secretly rooting for the Ravens tonight?
Eli, I don't know how you felt when you guys played, but I literally wish all other 31 teams could lose somehow. So whatever team I'm on, you know, I'm all for. I don't root for a single other quarterback. I don't root for a single other team. So right now I'm on the Colts, and that's about all I can, you know, muster up. So
Joe Flacco, no new friends. The one that got me was not even other quarterbacks. That's a fraternity, right? Those guys all root for each other. Not Flacco. I don't care what any of you guys do. I don't know how you guys could all go 0-for-1 this weekend, but if it could happen, I'd root for it. I respected Joe Flacco. Yeah. It's my favorite thing about you.
No, nope, nope, nope. Are you rooting for the Ravens?
Nah, mm-mm. I'm a Colt.
I mean,
he's probably not even rooting for Anthony Richardson, if you want to be honest. Get that guy out of here. I want to play.
I mean, he is in, like, he's in the AFC still. Like, yeah, there
doesn't make any sense for him to be rooting for the Colts. I mean, for the Ravens.
It would be kind of crazy.
Yeah, Peyton, you're allowed to root for the Colts because you don't play for them.
He probably didn't root for the Colts.
Yeah, when you're playing for the Broncos, were you rooting for the Colts, Peyton?
Yeah, that's how I'd flip it on them.
Yeah.
And then not get invited back to the main.
Then never make another appearance because that would be awful. But Joe Flacco, respect it, all of it. I don't want to see Joe Flacco here on Sunday because regular season Joe Flacco against the Texans, I don't like it. And Christian Harris won't even be there to pick him off. Neither will Steven Nelson, right? Did Steven Nelson get the other one? So I think it was him.
I think it was, yeah.
So those two guys who tortured him in that playoff game aren't even around. Let's make sure Anthony Richardson stays upright in the pocket, and I think it'll go pretty well for a Texans team who needs to bounce back. Joe Flacco walks in there. Mm-mm. No. The Colts, when you watch them play without Flacco and Richardson is out there, all you hope for is he makes a decision to throw the football early. Because if he does, unless it's deep down the field and it's probably not going to go well for the Colts, if he holds the football, he can break a tackle, he can escape the pocket, and things can get a little chaotic for you defensively. But Richardson making quick decisions, well, I welcome it. He'll throw that thing into coverage.
Yeah. I do have a nomination for Hater of the Week.
Okay.
It's at least Hater of the Day. I don't know. I don't know if it rises to Hater.
Yeah, I mean, haters pop up at any point.
Every day, a hater is born.
Yeah, it could fall down the podium depending on what happens.
Yes. Yeah, so Roger Clemens yesterday afternoon, I think, at 4:30, tweeted, on a flight, have a few hours to answer some questions. I'll try to get to as many as possible. AMA kind of thing.
Understood.
And A, he didn't really answer that many questions. B, he answered like five. B, they're all pretty standard. Like, yeah, I always dreamed of pitching against Reggie Jackson, and I think one day he did. He got asked best and worst ballparks he's ever pitched in, and he said Anaheim was always in pristine condition. Didn't touch the negative side to that until he got one question.
Okay.
Best home plate umpire during your playing career? He goes, not Angel Hernandez. every other one are positive, or he ignores the negative part of the question.
he couldn't hold off. Angel got
him. They didn't even ask him the worst. They asked him the best. And he said, not him.
Just so you're aware, I mean, I may not even pick a positive because I don't want to single anyone out. Except for this.
You know who I do want to single out?
Aaron Hernandez. Angel Hernandez. Excuse me. That's a different
arguably
Hernandez.
Arguably even worse.
Well, one of them's just a bad umpire. The other, murderer. But yeah. Hey, maybe he murdered your team in a game and
exactly.
You can't stand him.
Exactly.
Murdered a potential
he
great
butchered,
pitching performance.
He butchered Roger Clemens' ERA one year.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny because they're all very standard former athlete, like, man,
not looking to start anything.
Best pitch in baseball? I'll tell you what, it's strike one. That's another one that he said.
Oh. All right, Roger.
But then, for whatever, I mean, not for whatever
we
reason.
We know why.
We know the reason. But he just wanted to take a drive-by Angel Hernandez while he's on a flight.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'll take my shot as long as Angel Hernandez is involved. And Angel Hernandez, F me. What do you say F me for? No one asked you about me. Why am I the one?
I don't think anyone asked Roger Clemens about throwing the bat at Piazza and then going, I thought it was the ball, which also doesn't make sense.
No. You're a pitcher. You know what a ball feels like.
Also,
why would you throw it directly at him? What's the difference? None of that made sense.
Yeah, man.
Just say you misremembered. Anyone who asked you about I misremembered. I don't remember what happened. You're better off saying that instead of lying or what is an apparent lie.
I thought
it was a ball. I can't believe he tried to get that off. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's so
it's a
crazy.
Shard of it's a wooden shard. Do you think it's a ball?
And he threw it at him.
And why are you throwing a ball at him if you think it's a ball?
Throw it to first.
Yeah. Just admit you're upset. It's okay. You're mad.
I guess he can't admit to why he might have had that level of rage.
Well, see, you're going to a point where I didn't want to touch.
He might not be able
to. Well, that's why he was misremembering, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. He can't. I knew it was a bat, and I was so furious because of substances that I chucked it at him. No, he's not going to give that on his Twitter response thread. Not what he was looking for on his flight.
And if he was a real hater, he'd be like, and who cares? Piazza was on it too. Yeah,
I threw that bat at him. I mean, excuse me, ball, because he was on the juice.
Yeah, that guy's juicing. No room for that in our game.
And I want to protect the sanctity of the sport.
Yes,
me and the Yankees.
Me and the late 90s, early 2000 Yankees.
Yes.
On the, and now the front line.
And the 2024 Yankees, if you listen to what Brian Cashman said.
Yeah.
Of course, speaking of what could be potentially hypocrisy, Carlos Beltran was a Yankee. And he came over and said, you guys aren't cheating well enough. What are you guys doing? This is not how you cheat. This is how you cheat to the Astros.
They literally got told by baseball to stop cheating.
Yeah.
Secretly.
Beltran was yours. Baseball told you to stop cheating. And yet...
Because
you are high and mighty about what went on.
Yeah, because he couldn't hit 25 straight curveballs from Lance McCullers.
Is that cheating?
Lance McCullers
gave his arm for that.
Yeah,
it's never been the same.
Yeah, and is that maybe that's the cheating he's talking about? Maybe he's like, no, somewhere in the rules you can't throw. You throw us one fastball, please.
No,
24 straight.
Him and Chris Strauser don't think stunts can happen in a game, and Brian Cashman thinks
it's dishonorable.
They're not allowed. It's you're an honorable hooper. What's it called again?
Unethical.
Unethical hooper.
Unethical hooping.
Yeah, unethical.
Coming soon to Alperen Şengün.
Oh yeah. If you missed that, we played it earlier. Alperen Şengün has a new foul baiting technique he's going to use. We might see it tonight.
Credit to Jackson Gatlin. I think it was Jackson that asked.
That's where I pulled the clip from, yeah.
Yeah, that was like, hey, I noticed that you're sticking your arms out when you're going up for layups now.
And Alperen
guys are fouling.
And Alperen answered it straightforward. Yeah, he wasn't like, hey, what you doing? He just answered and go, look, yeah, someone taught me that. So be on the lookout. You love Alperen Şengün. Yeah. There's a part of his game you may not like, except he's on your team, so you probably will be fine with it.
People are fine with it.
Fine with Harden doing it. The 13 free throws per game were pretty cool, right?
But it's going to be a bad night to be Mark Williams and Nick Richards.
Well, Mark Williams won't be playing, so Nick Richards will have to deal with it. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that, Mark. Oh, yeah. He's out for like a while.
Yeah. LaMelo Ball is coming to town. That should be cool. And by cool, I mean infuriating. He's one of those players that if he has a big night against your team, you are furious about it.
Yeah.
You don't – LaMelo Ball, on that bad basketball team, he'll pose after jumpers. Don't let him hit a couple in a row. You will lose your mind thinking, you're down by 10. What are you doing? LaMelo don't care. So the Charlotte Hornets in town. The Rockets' schedule isn't that tough, but they play the Spurs like 3 times in their first 10 games. That is nuts. A Spurs team that's trying to win but isn't expected to be very good. So the Rockets can take advantage of that. They do have Memphis, but it's not a crazy opening stretch. They can get off to a pretty good start. We got one more segment to go here before we wrap it up. We will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Final segment of the show. We'll save the guess who's been the most disappointing team in college football for tomorrow. We can do that at any point. There are no games of consequence between now and tomorrow. FIU did play Sam Houston State yesterday in their Vice U uniforms. The uniforms weren't sad, but the environment was. There weren't a lot of people there for their special game. It was a Tuesday night football game. Not a lot of people in Miami, which is where FIU is. We're going to show up to a bad FIU team anyway, but you throw it on a Tuesday night.
There's just so much to do on the Tuesday night.
Not even. It's just we'd rather be someplace else. That's all that was. Uniforms aside.
Rather stay at home, root against the Celtics.
By the way, true. By the way, 10-7 the final in that one.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Sam Houston, not on our miserable index.
Yeah, they went in there and got a win against a bad football team with pretty cool uniforms. They had Vice U in all around the stadium, but in the end zones. The uniforms had Vice U on the helmet. It was in the colors of, well, Miami Vice, and the colors you see from the opening of that TV show from long ago, if you remember it, or you watched it on reruns, and also from the Miami Heat Vice uniforms that they wore for like three straight years, pink, blue, white, stuff like that.
And so, Vice City.
Yes, obviously GTA. That too. GTA, yes.
I don't know if I would like to be Vice University.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably not something that goes on the pamphlet when you at the college fair at so, high schools.
So do we have sex workers handing out pamphlets and drug dealers as well? Yeah. When you say Vice, all I think of is Vice Squad and what those officers do, at least in movies and TV shows.
Miami Vice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's probably not the branding the professors were looking for when they're trying to tell people where they work and why administrators are saying, hey, come to Florida International.
Yeah. Why do we have a pimp at the job
fair? A professor. With a goblet.
Or maybe they are the professors. Maybe the...
You never know. Maybe...
The pimps and maybe scallywags
maybe the professors and their off-duty activities were the reason these uniforms came about.
Mm-hmm.
But you can check it out. If you type in Vice FIU, you'll find the uniforms. They're not bad, just on a bad team who I think they're now 2-6 as they drop a game to Sam Houston State.
I'm going to Vice University. What are you majoring in? How to get this money.
10 toes down.
Yeah, counting bread 101.
Yeah, all the things. All the things. It's a nice concept, but if you start to dig deep, you're like, huh.
But it is
Miami
just,
already has it.
The word Vice on the
helmet. And on the helmets, it says Vice U.
Like, Vice?
Mean, Miami already has a problem with that stereotyping. Just lean into it. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, FIU, unluckily for them, they don't get thought of as Miami.
No, they don't.
But also, kind of luckily for them. So they don't catch all of the, like, could you imagine... The U walked out with, like, we're Vice University now.
You mean?
They would shut down the football program.
You mean just a couple weeks after they went out to Cal? What do they call? What was the game? Commies versus Coke or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Or was it Convicts versus Communists
no,
or something?
No, they didn't even use Convicts. They left that to Notre Dame and their nonsense.
It was Woke versus Coke.
Yeah, Woke versus Coke. There it was. Yes.
Coke came out on top.
Well, Coke always the game out. Ended like 3 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah, Coke did come out on top.
Yeah.
Of course it would, however long that game took.
And they got better the later it got.
Yeah.
They had more energy later in the game.
Do another bump. And that-